Okay, perfect. Yes, welcome everybody to a quick input on digital fair trade and how that can be a potential game changer in the area of digital work. I already had the chance today to pitch the organization that I'm coming from, Digital Alliance, and it was something where I could pitch 3 minutes and then get 15 minutes of feedback. I really enjoyed that, not talking too much, but also getting feedback. So I hope it's okay if I don't use the 20-minute slot only of blowing information on you, but maybe take 10 minutes to give you some input, and then we make this a conversation, questions and so on. If that works for you. Yes, so digital fair trade, what is that about? Don't be surprised, what I'm showing you here is not a perfectly presented, a perfectly prepared presentation. This is actually a report which you can find also on our website, digitalalliance.co, which we wrote together with the World Fair Trade Organization. Yeah, sorry, also for the intro. My name is Jan Fedler. I am the co-founder of Digital Alliance, based legally in Germany, but our operations are mainly in Kenya. And what we do is we train young people in graphic design, animation, and web development to then market their digital services online on a fair trade basis. So we create opportunities in the rural areas of Kenya. Under fair trade conditions. So yeah, we wrote this report together with the World Fair Trade Organization, and yeah, I'm just using this report a little bit as a red, a roter Faden, how you say in German, to guide us a bit through. But don't be worried about the small text and stuff. You're not meant to read all this. But if you want to go dig in later, you know there's a report. You can find the details over there. Maybe a quick question in the beginning. Who is familiar with the concept of fair trade? Or who is not? Okay, good. Then that makes it a little bit easier. Yeah, maybe to start in the beginning. The concept of digital fair trade is really about bringing the digital, bringing the fair trade principles to the digital realm. Why? Because there's a bunch of opportunities that come with the digitalization and digital work in terms of digital platforms, outsourcing platforms such as Freelancer, Fiverr.com, Upwork. Some of you might know them. So there's lots of opportunities that come with these digital work platform where you can sell graphic design, where you can sell other digital services and work. Transcription services, translation services, data entry, anything. But there's also lots of challenges that come with it. So the idea of bringing fair trade principles to this digital realm is really to ensure that we can take the good from these digital work platforms, from generally the concept of digital work, but forego the downsides, the risks and the negative aspects. Maybe digital work in numbers. You can see here the number of cloud work platforms has increased from 50 in 2008 to 283 now globally 2 years ago. So this area of digital work and digital platforms is really rising massively. It's a global phenomenon, of course, and as some of you might have guessed, a large part of this is taking place in Asia, in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Philippines. These are the largest suppliers of online work. Yeah, maybe not surprising. Many of you know Indian outsourcing companies. You get many of you might get emails if you're in the working context. Emails from Indian outsourcing. Companies, yeah, so that's not too surprising. So let's jump straight to the benefits and opportunities of digital work. Yeah, I'll be trying to be quick here so we can really have some time for exchange. So I'll really be very brief and we do the rest either face-to-face or you read the report later on. So So the main opportunities really of these platforms are work opportunities, right? A person in Kenya, like the people we work with, before these platforms arise, or the opportunity to work even without an online platform, but just like we do by finding buyers from the global north, matching them with people in Kenya to work on a website, there was no chance for this type of work without the internet. So. And this type of digital work. So it's a huge income opportunity for many people around the globe. That's probably one of the greatest advantages. It is also an opportunity for social inclusion. You can have people with disabilities, you can have women or parents in general taking care of their children. It's a very flexible type of work. If you design a website, you can do it from home. You don't need to come to a workplace necessarily. So it gives lots of opportunities. Like, you know, COVID has also shown this to us in the global north as well. It even provides some opportunities for employee protection because of, you know, the transparency that is that comes with digital markets and platforms in general. You can see maybe how many hours did somebody work, how long did he log in into systems and so on. And maybe some of you already guessed that there are problems with this transparency and data protection issues and so on. But in theory, there's also opportunity to protect employees by digital means and, you know, tracking of working hours and so on and so forth. These were just some examples of the students we work with, or graduates who are now web developers, graphic designers. Yeah. So coming to the downsides, one of the main downsides is probably the unpredictability of your income and the insecure employment. This type of very flexible work. Some of you might know the term gig economy. So you jump from one gig to the other. You don't have fixed working contracts. So that's a downside. So flexibility always comes with these two sides. A big thing is that this digital work market on these platforms like Upwork, Fiverr is pretty much unregulated or little regulated. So we don't have good labor laws, labor regulations in this field, and it's only just emerging that players like the International Labor Organization are pushing for more protection in this area. So because it transcends national boundaries, you have problems about taxation, social security evasion, and paying people not paying into their social security accounts and so on and so forth. You also have unfair conditions on these platforms. These platforms are often optimizing for the consumers, for the buyers. So they are kind of discriminating the sellers. There's usually more sellers than buyers. So then there's race to the bottom effects, where too many sellers out-compete themselves and prices go very much down. You don't have nice cooperation mechanisms where the sellers could, you know, maybe come together and agree, okay, we don't go beyond a certain price, which technically would be very easy on a platform, but the platforms don't do that. Yeah, so I think I have to jump about a lot of this, but I told you you can read it up. Unfair payment is an issue. Yeah, so I guess I really I leave it here, showing you some of the pros and cons, and can maybe just say two more words on what we do at Digital Lions, so that you see how do we do it, what is our approach. So on the top left you see our brand and our logo. So we do training of people in northern Kenya, young people around 18 to 20 years old. We train them in web development, graphic design and animation, and then either support them in building freelancer careers on such platforms such as Upwork, Fiverr, and so on, or we take them into the agency, which is Fairtrade verified. So we are the world's first Fairtrade verified agency. We did this together with the WFTO, basically going new ground here. And so that means we do pay people fairly above the local living wage, which is not so difficult in the domain of websites and design. But we also provide fair conditions like prepayment. So if we work on projects together, even though the client has not yet paid us, we pay our project people, participants. We provide good working conditions. Our campus is completely solar powered. We invest into education, we invest into woman empowerment. So you can read it all up. There's a list of 10 criteria that you have to fulfill if you are a fair trade player. Yeah, and I didn't go as fast as I want, but I hope this gives you a glimpse of an idea of what fair trade in the digital domain can mean. And yeah, now I would really like to see if there's any questions. Thank you. I think we have another mic, or I can also come round, or you can also speak without a mic, maybe. Yes, please. Mic is coming.
Thank you. I'm Björn. And I'm trying to formulate my question here, but basically I'm thinking of fair trade in terms of like you bring jobs to Kenya, right? And you educate them also to do this high-skilled job, I guess you could consider it. And maybe it's a hard question, but how do you, let's say more high-skilled job is still sort of linked to the global north or like Europe or such, like because of maybe a more inclusive university system or such. But how do you limit us from taking their high-skilled jobs, if there is any in Kenya? I mean, that can also be, if you think reverse, like we can work digitally with companies and products and services in Kenya, right? And to some extent, you could see that like with Google and Apple and such, like they work with digital services globally and sort of can, I guess, outcompete the local market also. Did you see my question? Or I mean, it's a bit difficult.
I heard a little bit of the brain drain problem that you talked about, that we use their talents.
Yeah, or rather that there is still a gap between sort of the education levels between like industrialized countries and developing countries. And I mean, I guess you have to push a lot also to invest in education, because it's a lot about the skill, not about where they are or such. Like, I mean, a Kenyan could work for Google if they have the right skill, right? So,
yeah. I mean, on the brain drain question, it's exactly one of the goals we have, to stop the brain drain. Because we enable people to stay in their remote home region. For example, our campus, we call it the world's most remote ICT campus. It's in Turkana, and it's not Nairobi downtown where Microsoft and Google and all of them are. We are very much in the rural areas. So yes, the people work internationally, but the brains stay, and they can also work for the local market at the same time if they freelance and so on. So there's no brain drain. And on the education side, to some extent, you said the education level is lower. To some extent, I don't think that's even the case, but there's just less job opportunities. There's lots of highly skilled people, well-educated, but there's a high academic unemployment rate. So our approach to education is more vocational training or, you know, startup bootcamp or a coding bootcamp-like. So it's a one-year, very intense program, but it doesn't give you a huge full 5-year study, but it rather shows you very hands-on, how do I do a WordPress website, how do I do a logo, how do I do a 2D animation. So it's very practical, hands-on, that's targeted towards income generation. I don't know if that's answered your question anything.
You mentioned the work is actually found on those big platforms like Fiverr. So your agency is on there. And what's your visibility, the fact that you're doing all this fair trade stuff, does it add value to your workers? And do you think that more could be done by other types of organizations to actually foster a need in the buyers for getting their workforce from a fairer source?
So your question is, why we use Fiverr also, or so maybe you can rephrase. Sorry.
Why would any of the people who buy stuff from Fiverr buy from you, and how can we improve that?
Oh yes, sure. Yeah, Fiverr is actually not our main channel. We try it a lot, but as you say, people who go there usually go by price a lot, and it's hard for us to compete with India, Bangladesh, and so on price. So we have to really differentiate us through our impact, through our fair trade verification, and that one is not so visible on Fiverr. So what we dream of is actually a platform that we could call Fair Fiverr, so we have a concept for that. We worked a little bit with the ILO and other players, GIZ, if we could come up with such a platform. But I mean, you're probably tech people, or some of you are tech interested. You can imagine it's quite a thing. Ideally, we would use some sort of open source platform model and so on. But that's our dream, to come up with such a platform and to drive B2B consumers to this platform. But as you said, that we need to push also the consumers the buyers to think more about this awareness. So I guess the concept is pretty new, and also if you buy a website from a German provider, you usually don't think that there's a problem to it, right? So you don't. There's nothing bad with buying a website from a German service provider. But the main downsides more lie in this outsourcing without any protection through these platforms. So yeah, I think we need to raise awareness a little bit. Our target groups are really NGOs, social businesses, or any business that has a strong CSR, so businesses that care a lot about where does their services come from that they source. So then there's a match. So if you have an NGO that, and we go, go to the NGO and say, look, we can do your website, we can do your logo. They're happy because we create impact, they create impact. It's a good match. I think I only partially answered your question. I think in theory, formally, we are at the end of my time slot, but I'm probably happy to take another one question if anybody has. Okay. Still, I hope this gave you a little bit of an opportunity to check out something new, check out Digital Fair Trade. In case anybody of you works for an NGO or whatever who needs something fair trade designed in Kenya, you now know where to go to. If anybody of you wants to develop a Fair Fiverr platform, please approach me. And have fun on the conference. Thanks very much.